Coming up on TMS, what exactly are those fries you're eating?
Hey, what you going to do with all that underwear?
Hasbro says no to 3D printed wieners.
Oh, The Simpsons goes long on August 21st.
Miley Cyrus is not nearly as dead as the internet would have you believe.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh, Peggy, look at your bridesmaid's hair. And if I shampoo with this, it'll wash the body out. Silly, don't wash out body. Cream in body with Luster Cream Cream Shampoo.
Really?
Luster Cream Cream's in body. It's got more bodybuilding ingredients than any leading shampoo.
Creamy lather. Dreamy body.
Looks like you're next. Luster Cream, you've done it again.
Yes, but can you handle my laser gun?
The sensation of Europe, now made in America by Samsonite. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. TMS in the morning for Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014. This is a day that will live in infamy, or the day I wish I was still asleep. One of those two.
One of the two.
I think sure. That second one. If I'm going to pick one, I think the second one. It's me, okay. Scott. It's him, Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm all right. I feel just a little bit flabbergasted. I'm tired.
Knackered?
Knackered. Knackered's all right. I don't feel like I live in the right continent, though, to say that and feel good about it, though.
Yeah.
Who says that? That's a British deal?
It's a British thing, yeah.
Okay. How about... Not tallywhackered, because that means that involves a wiener.
That involves Cleo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. yeah, I don't know what happened there. I just couldn't sleep. There's a lot. The Johnson aura around here is a little tense right now because we've got this wedding coming up. And the wedding is just intense. Like, there's just a lot of stuff to do.
There's
I don't mean
so
the wedding's physically in a tent. I don't mean it's intense. I mean,
it'll be in multiple tents.
Yeah, right. Many tents. That's maybe the problem. And it's making it more intense. What? Anyway. So she's just, you know, stressing out about all the stuff you do, like, invitations and dresses and locations and stuff and, you know, whatever, reception, blah, 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 all this stuff. And part of it is that, you know, they had the bright idea to try to be quick about it and they want to do it in September, which is like 2 months, not even that now. Mm-hmm. I guess it'll be 2 months away. Yeah, 2 months from this week, it'll be time. And it's just crazy. It's crazy. So in the thick of it all, yesterday, I realized, and this is a tribute, I suppose, to the new MacBooks and how long their batteries last. But Brian, I was missing my charger. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, did I leave it in the car? Did I leave it under the bed? What did I do? And then I looked everywhere. For hours I looked. And I went, oh my gosh, I haven't charged this since Nerdtacular.
No way.
July 4th weekend, because that's how long freaking those batteries last. And I'd use my notebook off and on. I was like, open it up, do stuff, shut it.
It's an error, right?
No, yeah, it's a Pro, one of the 15-inch
Pro.
Really?
Wow,
and you shut that thing and the battery will just last like a month. It's awesome. So,
let's hear it for Apple. Holy cow, that's impressive.
Well, let's hear it for them until this next part of my story.
Okay.
All right. So I thought, well, I should call Snowbird just first and see if they've got anything in lost and found. I know it's been a while, but we may as well check. So I call. They say, yeah, let me we loved your event, by the way. You know, that was awesome. They're just totally buttering me up on the phone and then said, let me send you to our lost and found department. I said, great. They send me and I get a voicemail. Hi, this is the Snowbird lost and found. Please leave us a number and we'll get back. You know, there's nobody there, but they'll call me back. Yes. So I leave a message. No big deal. I say, here's my number, call me back. Call me maybe, all right? So they said, sure. Or they didn't say anything, it was a robot. So then they called me back, and here's the phone call. All right, you ready for this?
Okay. Yes.
Listen to this.
Oh, you hear it.
In the room, in the clip, in the snowboard clip loss in the Utah. If you're available, can you call me back? Bye-bye, thank you. You have a good day.
That was it. That was the entire call. No number.
In the United States.
Yeah. No number, no name, no anything.
I think that she must have started talking while your outgoing message was going on.
It must have been because she missed the, like, here, it's so abrupt at the beginning here. Here, yeah. Right.
In the room, in the cliff, in the snowbird cliff lodge in the Utah. If you're available, can you call me back?
So I didn't know, you know, I hear that and I go,
she doesn't know where she is. I think she found your number. She's looking for help. She's looking for a way out.
Yeah, she was. It was definitely a cry for help. I need to get up there and save her. Is what I need to do.
I'm in the Snowbird Lodge. I'm in the Utah.
Man. Ironic name says in the Snowbird Clip Clop. That is not what she said. Anyway, yeah, she's in the Lost and Found. I think it may have been housekeeping. I don't know. Either way, I call back again, and I got somebody else, and they said, no, I'm sorry, there's no extra, no chargers. No chargers here. So I couldn't, I mean, the thing is dead, and there's stuff on there I need, and yeah.
I have text messages from you and me back and forth to prove this.
Yeah.
But, oh, no, never mind. It was a power cable, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was,
they had that. Or the video cable. They had that.
Yeah. Oh, video cable. Yeah. Right. I was going to say, oh, my God, I turned in a power charger that I found.
Yeah, definitely not my charger. And I don't think, I'm not even 100% sure I lost it there. If I did, I left it up at the stage and it probably got packed in with maybe Brandon has it or somebody. I don't know. I haven't done all that much checking, but I think that's where it was last seen. And so I said, all right. I'm in a pinch here. I need to use this thing today. Plus, I got a big meeting tomorrow. I need to have that thing. So I guess I'll go get a new one. And I'm not going to do one of these like $10 ripoff Chinese ones that Amazon. That'll melt your computer.
You see pictures on Gizmodo all the time of exploded chargers. Like,
yeah, they're crap.
Didn't buy the original Apple one, and it's crap.
It's garbage. So at least they'd stand behind it. But I forgot how much those damn things cost.
Yeah.
So I think the notebook was, reasonable. Put it up next to any kind of comparable PC, I got a good deal. Mm-hmm. Buy the notebook charger by itself, $80.
Yep, $79.95.
$80. Like, what are you? Ugh. Anyway, I swallowed the pole. I swallowed the pole.
Ice swarm.
And I decided.
Get the bullet, maybe?
So, no, TVZ gun, not quite 250, but yeah, $80. So
chargers, even Dell laptop chargers are in the 40 to 50 range. It's really because we had one of Tristan's friends. Well, yeah. Tristan's friend that he brought to Snowbird lost his at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas.
Oh, like Simon. He's a cool kid.
He is a really cool kid and couldn't find it. So he had to go buy a new one. And it was 50. I want to say it was 55 or something.
Yeah, they're all bad. It's kind of a racket. Exactly. It's either they're really well made. I don't know which.
They know you're going to want a spare. They know you're going to lose it. They know you're going to leave it behind. Plus, it's probably got some, electronics in there that sense when your laptop has had enough juice and it'll stop sending power. And
I guess, but even the PC ones and the Mac ones and all the notebook, like the little bricky part, they all get up to like 9,000 degrees. You could cook an egg on those things. I feel like it's 2012, man. What's going on here? Anyway, someone in the chat room says, Tekasoon says, how long till Scott finds the other one? That's a good point.
Yeah. As soon as you throw away the receipt from the one you bought.
Or as soon as they cut the plastic on the outside box. They do package those things real nice, though. You get those and you open it and like, oh my. Like you feel like you're at a fancy restaurant or something. It's like they do that pretty well. But anyway, there you go. There was my horrible experience there. And then I got to thinking, I haven't eaten French fries in a long time, Brian.
Sure.
I've cut fried food out of my life. And because of that, I forgot what that's like. And somebody yesterday brought home a bag of McDonald's crispy golden French fries.
Ooh.
And I found myself tempted for the first time in many months. And I thought, I should probably not do that. But I got close and then I said, but you want one. And I know. And then the other voice said, no, but you can't. We've made a commitment. Even if it's just one, it won't hurt you. None of this would hurt you, but it's part of it. It's a principle. You can't take it.
You must resist.
So then, to distract myself, I looked up on the internet. That's a big, it's the World Wide Web.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'm familiar.
The information superhighway.
Right.
Oh, just saying those words makes me want to punch somebody. I looked this up, and I wanted to know what exactly is in McDonald's french fries in the first place. And Wired, of all people, had a great article about this. So I'm going to share it with you.
Wired.
Yeah, Wired's good. So I'm going to share this with you so that you, too, can one day perhaps eschew or turn away from the devil fries.
Loved her in Karate Kid.
I know. She was amazing. Well,
and leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. Later, though, she got some trouble. I don't know if that's true or not, especially about this fictitious person we made up. All right. First ingredient is potatoes. All right. That's good.
Okay, good. Well, you want to make sure that is the first ingredient in any french fries.
Yeah. It's not some Phillips 66 foam padding or whatever. It's
right,
straight
exactly.
up potatoes.
It's hydrogenated peanut oil or something like that.
Right. Penis oil. Got it. Mickey D uses varieties like the russet Burbank, which have a nice oval shape and Johnny Carson's face etched in each one. And just the right balance of starch and sugar, this says. Excess sugar can cause a fry to have brown spots where it's over caramelized, leaving a burnt taste and deviating from the uniform yellow arches color. Just in case, the spuds are balanced after slicing, removing blanched. Surplus sugar. Blanched, sorry. Balanced, what I meant. Blanched.
Blanched. But yeah, Blanche.
I know you.
My third favorite golden girl.
Yeah, I know, Blanche, right? She was the slutty
who was
one.
Who, honestly.
She was the one that played the quote-unquote slut.
The Rue McClanahan?
Yeah. I know that word's fallen out of favor, but that was her whole
slut?
Joke. Yeah. People don't like the word slut.
That word was in favor?
Well, not in favor. It's been, you could say, let me say it this way. Like in the 80s, if you saw someone scantily clad, for you to just pop out a phrase like, "Woo, she's a slutty looking girl." You could say that without too much consternation from those around you. You can't say that now without getting in huge trouble, right? I'll get in trouble just for referring to it and talking about it in an educated way. That's how the word is today.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Okay. Gotcha.
We'll just leave that one there where it is. Sodium acid phosphate. Sorry, pyrophosphate. Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sodium acid pyrophosphate.
Taters can turn a nasty hue even after they're fried. Iron in the spuds reacts with the potatoes. Phenolic compounds, discoloring the tissue of the fry. The phosphate ions in SAP, S-A-P-P, trap the...
Sodium acid pyrophosphate.
Thank you. Trap the iron ions, stalling the reaction and keeping the potatoes nice and white throughout the process. All right.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now we're getting to the real business.
Well, sodium acid, so I would assume that that's like a salt. Pyrophosphate, though. I mean, that just seems... That seems...
It sounds like a thing that Adam Savage would laugh at when it blew up funny. That sounds like, doesn't it?
Right. Wow, did you see that pyrophosphate go up, Jamie?
You do. That's not a very good impression, but he laughs funny. Vegetable oil. In the good old days, Microsoft fries are cooked in beef tallow. Ooh, beef tallow.
Mm.
He's a great ancillary Pandaren in the Pandaren expansion.
Beef tallow.
Beef tallow. Yes. You go talk to him.
Be the new war chief is what I hear.
Yeah, it's the rumor. But customer demand for less saturated fat prompted a switch to vegetable oil in the early 90s. Here, the mean oils of varying saturations combined into something reminiscent of beef tallow. There's canola, about 8% saturated fat, soybean oil, 16%, and hydrogenated soybean oil, 94%. And to replace the essence of beef tallow, natural beef flavor, which contains hydrogenized wheat and milk proteins that could be a source of meaty-tasting amino acids. Mm. So
does that mean a vegetarian can't eat McDonald's french fries because of the natural beef flavor?
They used to not be able to because it had actual beef tallow in it. Now,
beef tallow, but now it's – so it's hydrolyzed wheat and milk proteins.
Even then, I guess they couldn't because the milk part. If you're vegan, if you're a vegetarian, you're fine. If you're a vegan, you're out.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, this whole I think we're way past vegan.
I don't think you see a lot of vegans at McDonald's anyway.
No. Yeah. Well, if you do, they're in dark coats and fake mustaches. So that's what you expect. The vegetable. So now here's where we get into some trouble. All right.
Okay.
More vegetable oil. That's right. The fries get two batches of VG oil, vegetable oil, veg oil. One for par frying. I think isn't that shouldn't be pan frying.
No, par frying.
Is that a thing? Okay.
It's like I think it's a pre-fry basically.
Okay. So anything that needs pre-frying, we should run away. that happens at the factory. Another for the frying of the batch at the location. The second one adds corn oil and an additive called TBHQ.
Here you go. All right.
Terrible.
Tuck in for this one.
Terrible botulism headquarters.
Turtle hydroquinone.
You said it way better than I would have.
Turtle dry quinglone.
which at high doses can cause nasty side effects in rats, like stomach tumors.
Mm.
McDonald's uses this oil in all of its frying, so the stuff usually sits around in big vats, which means it can go rancid as oxygen plucks hydrogen from the lipids. It acts as an antioxidant, replacing these pilfered hydrogens with its own supply. So there's that. And I don't like the sound of any of that. Then there's dextrose. No. The brief dip of corn-based sugar or solution replaces just enough of the natural sweet that was removed by the blanching. This result is a homogeneous outer layer that caramelizes evenly. You add more sugar later when you squirt on the ketchup. Finally, salt. They use a salt that is crystals that are in uniform diameter, just enough to get absorbed quickly by crackling hot oil. Now add ketchup and you've achieved the hedonistic trifecta: fat, salt, and sugar. In other words, those are bad. They are not good for you. Now, if you ate them in moderation, you're probably going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is, in my car, there is still a French fry down between the seats.
Somewhere underneath the driver's side seat.
That is perfectly formed and looks like it did the day it was born. That isn't right.
Hey, you got to thank the sodium acid pyrophosphate for that.
Well, see? Look at you with your big fancy words. All right.
I know. I can get by without a Big Mac. I can get by without a quarter pound or whatever. But I do think that McDonald's has the best fries in fast food.
They are. They're not the best for you, but part of the reason that they're the best is because they are made to, they're like Oreos. They're not, these are not designed to be good for you. These are designed great tasting.
Right.
And
crack. They're designed to be crack.
They're designed to be crack. Exactly. Like this lady was on.
In the room, in the clip, in the snowboard clip loss.
Look.
Sorry, first day. Yeah, not completely familiar with where I am.
In Utah.
Working on figuring out.
Wait. Snowbird Cliff Lodge, where?
In the Utah.
Oh, okay. Oh, got it.
Oh, that one.
In the Utah. Okay.
In the United States. In planet Earth. In solar system.
In solar system. Milky Way.
Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah, soul. We have a soul sun. All right.
I think we've just replaced Utah connection, which we haven't used in a while. We're just with in the Utah.
In the Utah. I should start. You know what? I'll tear that down and make it a separate thing. That's a good idea.
Nice.
All right. It's time to call Daryl and talk to somebody from our planet, which is
By
Earth.
The way, you've got the same capper in the next two sponsor intros. Is that on purpose?
No, that's a goof. Did I really do that? All right, we'll do the first one that way, and then I'll fix the second one.
So and those are both old, by the way. Okay, but anyway.
Okay, all right. It's Stump a Direct Nerd brought to you by...
Levi was diagnosed with autism 6 years ago and is one of three brothers with the same diagnosis. He loves to run, which causes safety issues. This is the main reason we're trying to raise $12,000 for a service dog from Capable Canines of Wisconsin. Visit bit.ly/dogforlevi to find out more.
All right. Here, I'm going to copy a thing out.
Okay.
Let's see what you're showing. Oh, yeah. What did I do there?
I think you may have copied an old... Oh, no. I take that back. No, they're still working on... donations. So,
okay, here's all fixed.
bit.ly/dogforlevi and dog for and Levi are all capitalized.
Nice. All right, Daryl, you there?
Yeah, I am.
What's your opinion on the Microsoft French fry? Sorry, the McDonald's French fry. What do you think there? What do you think of that thing?
Oh, I don't even go to that place because it's like going to Jiffy Lube to eat.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Jiffy Lube to eat. That's not a good idea at all. They don't have salad bars that are any good. Hey, do you go to... So when's the last... If you had to pick or, you know, estimate your last time to McDonald's, when was it?
Wow.
Mine was almost 2.5 years ago. It was a long time ago.
I'd say...
Although it's not that long.
Probably 7 to 10 years ago.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Wow, impressive.
2.5, maybe a year and a half.
Impressive.
I don't remember. I think I did an experiment with us for the show there once, didn't I? Oh, yeah. We went to get they had a new burger they were testing, Brian. Remember that?
Oh, really? I remember when we sent Dunaway there to get a McRib.
I thought, oh, my gosh. That was funny.
Yeah.
He about puked. But what was what were you and I? You and I did something too, though. They were making. They had some new burger to introduce.
They had a guacamole burger that I tried. That was about a month ago. On this show.
I don't remember. Maybe I've been more recent. But it, when I've like purposely gone without a show reason to go there, it's been like almost 3 years or something. It's been a long
time. A show reason.
A show reason. We do things for the show. That's what we do.
We have one. We have one that's a couple blocks away from the house. I mean, it is walking distance. Probably the closest fast food place to where I live. Yeah. As the crow flies.
Well,
occasionally we might get ourselves an egg McMuffin.
Sure. Yeah, breakfast. I cannot talk today. I have audio from Daryl's last attempt to go to McDonald's. You want to hear it, Daryl? I found
this
in the archive. Here it is. Daryl at the drive-up right after getting his food.
It's all mushy and wet.
All right, there you go. All mushy
and
wet.
That's why I never went back.
Keeps the hot side hot and the cool side cool. All right, Daryl, let's do what we do. We do a little Star Trek segment where you come on and you answer Star Trek trivia. And today we have a question for you that is Next Generation related. To test your true Star Trekiness nerdiness. And here it is. In the episode Birthright, Part 1, the crew is hanging out on Deep Space Nine. Worf and Geordi, you know, it was one of these crossovers to help promote the other show.
Oh, great.
Worf and Geordi are getting some food together. Geordi gets them both the same dish. What dish does Geordi order for the both of them? Was it A, linguine bolognese?
Bolognese.
B. Hold on, I gotta have this freaking file ready now.
Squirini.
All right. Pasta al fiorella.
Oh.
Penne rigate. Brian, feel free to just kill any of these that I get wrong.
Yeah, no, you're doing great.
And D. Pasta primavera. I know that one. There you go. So there's your four options. Let those sink in, dude. Let those dip. Mm. Let those go deep. And
welcome to the Olive Garden. What can I get?
When you're here, your family. All right.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
When you're here, you're nauseated. All right. Let's do. Actually, you know what? Olive Garden's all right. It's okay. That soup they make is really good. I give them that. Today, I think we eat this freaking Saki Irka prepared squid. Let's get it out of the way, gentlemen.
Oh, the prepared squid.
Yeah. Yep, you only got to eat a little. I like this stuff, so I'm not complaining.
I had some sitting at the table up at Snowbird. Snowbird at Cliff Lodge in the room.
In Utah. Yeah.
Utah.
Daryl, you didn't end up with an extra freaking charger or anything weird like that, right?
But I left my water bottle in my room.
Oh. Well, there's plenty of more of those where they came from, and they're not $80 if you got to replace them. Oh, man.
I like how this, I know. And you know what's funny? Do you see the company name? You probably tore it off because it's above the tear strip.
Yeah.
But the company is called City Aroma.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh, it is.
City Aroma.
That's crazy.
Tires and oil.
Yes. So,
I'm opening this away from my face because it's stiff.
Is there a giant smiling squid on yours? Like the open window on the front? Or is it a different bag? Hold yours up.
Mine says featured.
Oh yeah, they're different. Too. Oh, why do I have these?
I think you might have gotten your box confused with another one. We did get an email from the listener who sent these in, Daniel, who said, "I've been listening to TMS the last couple of days. I swear somebody must have mixed Scott's box up. I sent you each the same stuff, with the exception of different drinks. It sounds like something terrible happened to Scott's box in transit, but I wrapped them all fairly well and even told the post office that it was fragile carbonated food or drink." Stupid post office.
Yeah, I think what happened is, yes, this is the obliterated box, so maybe something got mixed in here. I don't know. Well, either way, it's squid. So here we go.
Yeah, that's Daryl from the smell, I'm sure.
Is that?
No, that's not me.
Oh, that's somebody else from the smell.
I heard off microphone coughing and gagging. I thought it was Daryl with the smell.
That's funny.
It could, though. I mean, I'm honestly pointing the bag away from me.
I love
because
this.
Yeah, I remember how much it stinks.
I love these, though. All right, so here we go.
Okay.
I got each of these when my brother was in high school. He used to go to they called it the Oriental store. I know that's also out of favor now, but it was the Asian market, basically. And he used to buy this all the time. We loved it. He used to eat it all the time. It's like fish jerky is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's sweet. Kind of has a little sweet thing to it.
That's yeah, like it was soaked in the sauce.
I like it. I know it reeks. And nobody wants to be around you when you're eating it, but... Oh, it's so good. Mm. But if you smell it, it's like swampy. I don't know what's going on there. All right, well... Congratulations to both of us.
That's good stuff.
Now Daryl's coughing and gagging.
I'm not a fan, but it's... If I had to survive on it, I guess I could.
Yeah, if you were stuck someplace, is all you had. You were Tom Hanks and you had to try to get your own rotten tooth out with a rock. You'd do it.
Wilson!
Yep. That movie's underrated. I like it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Here's so good. Well done.
Some people have a problem with it. I don't. I like it. Okay. Oh, did I tell you I watched that Walter Mitty deal?
Oh, yeah, I did, too. We watched it over the weekend.
I was kind of average about it. I didn't love it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was okay.
The music was really good.
The music was great.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was. I didn't hate it. I don't think it's the pile of poo everyone makes it out to be.
Right. No. By far, far better than that. But yeah. And Kristen Wiig is just a delight in it. I mean,
She's great.
She's.
I like her. I like Kristen Wiig. I like... I can deal with Stiller, although he's starting to look like his dad a little bit. He's getting squatty.
Adam Scott, though. Oh, man, talk about Lord. Playing the dick,
that,
right?
That beard, man.
Yeah.
But I could never... It was the kind of movie where they're like, oh, they're going to do some supernatural kind of... He's imagining this stuff.
Yeah.
And you never knew when he was not doing it.
Right,
and
exactly.
And I feel like they kind of screwed some of that up. But for the most part, it was fine. It was
like a two-hour Ally McBeal episode.
Kind of. That's actually pretty accurate. And real pretty shots of, you know, Iceland.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I mean, like, all that stuff was neat. People want to go to Greenland and Iceland, Jim, mm-hmm. and Christmas.
Yeah, it was okay.
That's what Wendy saw when she was there. Lucky her.
Yeah, she's going back. That's where they're going first. They're going to fly there. Because it's cheaper. The way it is, you do a one-way ticket to Iceland. That's cheaper than getting a full ticket all the way to Sweden. So you go to Iceland, then hop to Sweden, and it's less that way. Like, by a lot. Like, by... half or
oh,
something.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
It's some weird trick that people use to get over there. Anyway, she is going slightly mad trying to get everything ready to go. It's a little crazy. Wendy might need her own therapy Thursday after all this is done. Well, we'll see. And by the way, the therapy show should be up soon. I'm just waiting for iTunes and a couple other approvals to make sure all the feeds are working, and then we're off to the races. Should be good. Ooh, I got to talk to you about this new podcast app everybody's freaking out about.
Overcast, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Overcast. Have you played that and played with it a little bit?
No, but...
You can import all your feeds from Downcast or whatever you're using, yeah. And I'm kind of impressed.
Really?
In fact, yeah, when Daryl leaves, I'll talk about it a little more. We don't want Daryl to see us. We don't want him to hear us.
When Daryl leaves, yeah.
Yeah. Daryl, we got any birthdays, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Wait, here's your birthday theme. All right, go ahead.
Joseph Sargent is 89 today.
Right.
He directed the Corbomite Maneuver.
Oh, all right.
TOS.
Nice. How old?
89.
He's that old then. Still with us?
Yeah, he's still around. Yep.
Well, he beat out, he's a couple years senior of James Garner there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for him, man. Wow, that's awesome. How would you like to be able to live a life long enough that you directed an original series episode and you've seen all the other Star Trek come and go, including the movies and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, which reminds me, Brian Dunaway yesterday sends me this text and he goes, I just watched Into Darkness and it was terrible. He is now making that movie. He says it's tied with Minority Report for his least favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yep. That's what he says.
Wait, which movie?
Into Darkness. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, I saw his tweet about it. I didn't think, wow.
He hated it. Hated it.
Oh, I didn't think it was nearly bad enough to hate.
No, I think it was fine. There were a lot of problems and issues, but whatever. It's a good time at the movies. I don't know why he's freaking out. The same reason I don't know why he hates Minority Report so much. He just hates it.
Wow.
Hates it to hate it. I don't know. They strike a nerve with him, those movies, for who knows why. We'll get more info later this week on FilmSack, find out what's going on.
I understand why someone would hate it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah. And you're a Star Trek nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hate it. Okay. No. Well, then good.
I don't love it either, but...
No, of course not. But who does? Maybe this lady does.
In the room.
I'm in the room. Daryl, back to your question here. It's your linguine bolognese.
Bolognese.
I want to say that G, dude. I just want to say
I know you do.
Pasta alla fiorella, the penne rigate, or the pasta primavera. Which one do you go with?
Oh, I don't know. Well, let's see. It would either have to be something super alien or super regular. So I'm going to just say the first one.
The first one? The linguine what is it? Bolognese? Bolognese? Bolognese.
Bolognese. Bolognese.
That's what you put on your sandwich while you're bowling.
Oh, yeah, right?
That's what that is.
Bolognese. Like baconese, but with bowling. okay,
wait a minute here. Yeah,
okay, all right.
What's the second one?
Second one is pasta al fiorella.
Oh, no, that's too weird.
Fiorella. Pasta fiorella.
Fiorella.
It's like Cinderella pumpkin sauce or something.
All right. We'll go with that. So is that your pick? Which one's your pick?
No. Let's keep going. What's
penne rigate.
Yeah, penne rigate.
Oh, that's the rowing race, so it's not that.
All right. The final one is pasta primavera.
Oh, my God, that's too normal. It couldn't be that.
Okay.
Although it could. Well, so it's either the first one or the last one, and I'll just stick with the first one.
First one, you say, eh? Let's find out if that's correct. Is it the first one? It is not. It is pasta al fiorella.
Oh, poo on that.
Jordy says this dish is one of his favorites. However, he doesn't like this replicated version. Quarf quite enjoys this, or his. I wonder how Worf would feel about yogurt soda or basil seed drink. Mike kicking in some nerdtacular throwbacks once again. Here is a clip of Jordy and Worf doing their thing, hanging out. Here you go.
What is this?
It's pasta al fiorella. It's one of my favorites. Don't worry, you're going to love it. You know, I really want to take a look at those Qatarian antiques. I understand they've got a 21st century plasma coil that's in almost perfect condition. I'll have to talk to Chief O'Brien about these replicators. Mm-hmm. Worf, I don't see how you can eat that stuff. Tastes like liquid polymer.
Delicious.
You know, I think I'm going to try that kiosk on the other side of the promenade. It looked like they had some real food.
Mm-hmm. They're real buddies in this one, hanging out.
They are. Aww.
You know? Buddies. Some time with Worf. Sure, why not?
My dinner with Worf.
My Tuesdays with Worf. Or Tuesdays with Worf. there you go. Ooh, I'm eating too much of this fish stuff. Let's put that right over there. Okay. Whew. I can smell it on myself.
Yeah, see?
Woo! I'm going to start sweating it. I'm going to go jogging today and I'll smell like it.
We should, by the way, we should probably start refrigerating the beverages.
Oh, I don't think of mine made it.
Oh, really?
I think those probably got busted and just left out of the box is my guess. Because they're not in that open tray thing they sent me.
Oh, bummer.
That's okay, though. Refrigerate them. We'll still do them. We got it. We got this. Yeah. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com as well. And he's also a part of this show called Grumpy Cast, where him and equally grumpy old man there, Hammond Chamberlain, sit around and complain about shit, which is awesome. So go check that out. Subscribe today. Daryl, play a game with us now. Calling it what?
Is this a Star Trek thing or a Harry Potter thing?
Here's your theme right here. That was intense.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Go.
Sonorous.
Sonorous.
In the room.
Sonorous.
Sonorous.
Wait, Star Trek thing or what? Was it
Harry Potter?
Oh, Harry Potter thing. Mm-hmm.
That could be either one, man. Sonorous.
I feel pottery here.
I do too. Like it's part of an incantation or something,
Or a name of somebody.
Sonorous. Abrogato.
There you go. Avocado. All right, we're gonna go. We'll say Potter.
We'll say Potterverse.
You're doing good at this one. It's a charm to magnify one's voice.
Oh, that's right. I remember this now. You go sonorous, and then. Harry! Freaking! Yeah, I remember. I read these books. I know what's going on.
It's the all caps Harry Potter.
I've been there.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. For the love of bacon by a sweet, wonderful Korean grandma, go to Kickstarter and search for Cooking with Granny and support Caroline's cooking show. I said bacon. Congratulations, because they funded months ago.
Oh, is that it again? Yes. Damn it. What did I do? This
I think you copied an older show to do.
I must have, but the weird bit is I think that my app is like.
Use an app to manage.
I use Simple Note just to kind of keep track of these, so I can sync them across computers and stuff. And I think something just got. You know what I'm going to do here?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
We're going to change this. Okay, read that one. I just put it in.
All right. It still hasn't updated.
Oh.
There it is. Brought to you by Sean Sleeps Naked. On Friday, the 13th of June.
Wait!
About a month and a half ago.
Hold on a second. It's happening again. How is this happening? Okay. Here we go. You know what? Okay, you know what? Here's it. Finally.
Make sure to check out the grand opening of the Statue of Liberty and
there. Now
lovely
it's
New York
work.
City.
Try that one.
All right. Hey, remember the guy on last Thursday's TMS PM? Well, he's got a show too. Of course he does. Everyone else and their mother has one too. Anywho, it's called Happy Camper Radio on all those podcast together things. You can also email him at daniel@happycamperradio.com with all your trolley hate mail or nice mail. The show again is happycamperradio.com.
All right. Now that one I know is real.
We haven't read that one.
No, I don't know what's happening. Two in a row. That means it's... How's the phrase go? Shame on you.
Right. Whatever. Fool me once, Saturday food.
So I think there's some.
We won't get fooled again, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there's something going on.
There's that.
That's
Bush
pretty good.
Quote.
Yeah, I like it. That's pretty good, Bush.
It's fool me once. The fool. We won't get fooled again.
Didn't he? He actually did that, right? There was like
yes. I'm sure you can find the audio of that really easily.
Fool me once. Here we go. All right. It's only 18 seconds. Here
Perfect.
You go, right here.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Was he doing that on the Carol Burnett show?
I don't know what that was. We're going to get a Dorf on Golf segment after that. Wow. Okay. Man. Do we give man powers or no?
He has no powers.
All right.
Powerless.
Powerless. Man is powerless.
Sidekick, though. Good for him.
Yeah, good job. Man suspected of stealing 200 panties from a mall.
Well done.
Yeah, this guy's from Georgia, so sorry, Florida. Not your day. Authorities are investigating the theft of over 200 pairs of panties at an East Georgia shopping mall.
26 of them were worn at the time.
Right? Exactly. Oh, geez. Those poor people. Richmond County Sheriff's officials say a thief stole the panties from a Victoria's Secret in Augusta Mall. Shortly before noon on Saturday. The Augusta... Chronicle reports that security video shows a male entering the store and stuffing the underwear into a large shopping bag. Authorities say he left without paying for the merchandise, valued at $1,900. So any theories? So it's easy on the face of it to go, oh, he's some kind of pervert. But then maybe he was just going to resell these and make some money.
I was going to say, a pervert really only needs one pair.
Right. I mean, you'd have to really go down that rabbit hole.
This is resale time. Mm. And it's funny that he's suspected of stealing.
Yeah.
Don't they have him on camera? I mean, isn't he
That's what
he
they always
accused?
Say. They always say, suspected until trial or whatever.
Well, but he's suspected is, there's something between... suspected and confirmed. I think it's accused. Man accused of stealing 200 panties. I guess you only get accused if they know who you are.
Yeah, and they're... Well, and so maybe that works. So if you're accused of something, that means they have enough evidence to say you've been accused of it.
So they don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, maybe they don't know. Yeah, they haven't found him.
Huh.
All right. That's a lot of underwear.
It is.
Many, many people are now going without underwear because of this man's actions.
Aww.
I know.
It's a sad, sad day.
It is, really. Hasbro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hasbro. It's a dumb name if you think about it. It's always been dumb.
Hasbro.
Hasbro. Hasbro has...
Hasbro.
Hasbro has partnered with 3D printing sites to sell fan-made, penis-free My Little Pony designs.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's what the headline actually said. Yes. I didn't add that in there.
Fan-made, penis-free.
As according to AVClub.com, Hasbro has announced a partnership with Shapeways, a retailer of user-created 3D printed wares. Etsy for Technophiles is how you might want to read that. To sell My Little Pony figurines designed by amateur artists under the new program, which lives at superfanart.com. Independent artists will design and create 3D models of pony. Now, what is that word? Tchotchkes?
Tchotchkes, yeah, sure.
Has there always been a T in front of that word?
Yes.
Wow.
Tchotchkes.
Whose job was it to check that into the dictionary? I know it's from another, you know, it's obviously derived from somewhere else, but what the hell, man? T without it. How do you start? That looks Eastern European something something. Must be.
That's what I would guess. Yeah.
Polish.
I'm going to tell you. I do want to figure out what it comes from. Yiddish.
Yiddish. Tchotchkes.
Yes, from the obsolete Polish tchotchko. C-Z-A-C-Z-K-O.
Why is it obsolete now? What happened?
Because I think the Polish have all switched to using tchotchke.
No. That makes me sad. You extincted a word just because we had a better way of using it or something?
We're not. No, we.
Oh, they? They did it? All right.
Well, yeah.
Shapeways will print the figurines on demand for paying customers who want their own. Although the venture is billed as art by fans for fans, the first few designs available for purchase are most notable for their lack of penises, a bizarre alteration or aberration.
That's what makes them notable. Yeah. I like that. Good.
Keep showing up in these internet crowdsourced art projects, and clear evidence that this embrace of fandom may not be all it seems to be. Indeed, while Shapeways is rather cagey about the screening process and its blog and about its partnership, Hasbro spilled the beans in the New York Times, revealing that the toy company must approve each fan-made design before it is ever sold, quote, to ensure they are not obscene, violent, or hateful. In other words, Hasbro wants to bolster My Little Pony revenue with a little bit of internet, but not too much internet. Yeah, what is the deal with... I know many bronies are way into it and not at all interested in all their ponies having wieners. But what is this thing with them having wieners all the time?
Yeah, I don't know. That does seem odd, doesn't it?
Can someone explain? I'm not judging. I just want to know. What is that? What are we doing here? I'm gonna do a quick Google search on My Little Pony. Okay, hold on. My Little Pony. Okay. Let's see. My Little Penis. Ugh. And I can't find any. Yeah, I can't find anything that explains this. Someone got a good link. Like, ironic name. You always got weird links.
find us a picture of My Little Pony.
Yeah, no, I've seen the photos. I don't need that. I just want to understand, like, the origin of why is that a subset of all this. And I understand there's subsets of everything, but this one is weird to me. Okay. So that's that. That's your news. Hey, want to be a sports action? Sports. You want to be a superhero action figure? Brian, do you want to be... I don't know.
I think it's time to check that mashed potato eye of yours.
I know.
Again,
today, nothing's coming out right. I can't. I slept like garbage, and that woman's voice is in my head all night. You know the one, this lady.
In the room, in the snowboard clip loss in the Utah.
Now I can only hear the snowboard clip clop.
The snowboard clip clop. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. All right. Anyway, these guys make this amazing thing. You Kick Ass LLC is a new company created by three friends who make action figures that look just like you. And guess what? If you're a Frog Pants listener, you have the opportunity to be among the first to create and receive their personal superhero action figures by backing the You Kick Ass Kickstarter campaign and helping them to reach their goals. Donations of $50 or more include a personalized hero with higher pledge levels, receiving additional heroes and gifts. They 3D print your face, man. Your head.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Put it on the hero and you're good. This all ends tomorrow on the 23rd. So if you want to still be a part of this, get in there now. Head over to bit.ly/ukickass or ukickass.com will be just fine as well. They link you right over to it. And it's awesome. These figures, by the way, are like 6 to 10 inches tall, depending on age, gender, and the model you choose and so on. You have a lot of choice there. Really, really, really cool. So go check it out. That's Now I lost it.
You kick ass.
Youkickass.com. Thank you. let's jump on to, you know what? Let's do this. I know what we're going to do. We're going to do this.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
Hey, do you like death rays, space lizards, chemtrails, and mind control?
No.
Too bad. Oh. Join the Weekly Bleep as we take down conspiracy theories, talk tech, and screw up the news. That's theweeklybleep.com, because it just got silly.
Still think I want to make a show called Screw Up the News.
That's basically what this is, isn't it?
Yeah, we could rename this show.
Yeah, that could be our segment, actually. It could just be called Screw Up the News.
Yeah, we'll steal it from this guy.
Well, their show is theweeklybleep.com.
Right.
We'd be stealing nothing.
This is all true. Let's see. Record-breaking marathons. We talked about this a little bit, but now we got a date and we know what's going on. The record-breaking marathon of The Simpsons is now going to be soon available on FXX, which is that other FX channel.
That extra X makes it. Yeah.
The 552 episodes of The Simpsons will be aired on FXX along with the feature film. Cable Network announced the Simpsons Marathon at the Television Critics Association fall previews on Monday, July 21st, after obtaining the exclusive cable rights for the long-running primetime animated series last year. They're owned by Fox. Why do they have to get the rights? That seems weird.
I don't know. That's a really interesting
question. I don't understand this. The twisted world of cable TV. It's weird. Mm-hmm. The record-breaking marathon begins Thursday, August 21st. So write that down. For 24 hours a day for 12 straight days. 12 straight days, nonstop, dude. That's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah,
it is.
After the marathon, The Simpsons will be added to FXX's regular schedule in primetime and late night. There will also be a mini marathon of 8 episodes on Sundays, leading to a season 26 broadcast on Fox. A marathon of the Halloween-themed Treehouse of Horror episodes will stream on a Tuesday, October 26th, starting from noon. So that's cool. That makes me excited. Treehouse of Horror is always a good time.
And that's my favorite. Those are my favorite episodes.
Yeah, they're always good. What's wrong with that? So if you're going to do that, make sure you check it out.
In the Utah?
Yeah,
in the 26. Utah. So 26 seasons. So if they start that, I mean, basically be 12 hours of, a little over 12 hours of Treehouse of Horror.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Maybe too much. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. But I guess grats for that show being gigantic. And having millions of episodes, and I still enjoy it. So take that, everybody. Oh, we were checking the other day. How old is Bart? Let's see. How old is Bart Simpson? Okay, so he was at 10 years. Okay, so in 1989, he was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So if that holds, he would be what? He'd be 34. No, 35.
Right.
Lisa would be, hold on.
She's 8, right? 33?
Yeah, and Homer was 34 at the time, so what would that make him? He'd be like 59 or so. He'd be almost 60.
Right.
Oh, weird.
Crazy.
Weird. Anyway. And then Reddit comments are ridiculous, so let me get out of that page.
Don't read it.
Let's see here in your celebrity poop. We got a record breaking. Oh, we talked about that. Miley Cyrus found dead, is not true. It's a hoax.
Mm.
Spread like a virus. Miley Cyrus
These
is
things
the,
always I, do.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
What do you think the mentality is behind, like,
well, it's somebody, you know, they know that this kind of stuff spreads quickly and that people are just going to retweet automatically. I mean, you know, if you throw out a prominent celebrity, the chances that people are going to believe you are going to be less likely, but the ones that do, it's going to spread, you know, for every 100 people that receive it, you might get 20 people that retweet it. And it's just the vanity of seeing your stuff get repeated and reposted and retweeted and all that stuff.
I think you're right. I think it's, what's the Joker say, or what did Alfred say? Just some people just want to watch the world burn. It's like,
right,
that.
Exactly.
I think those are the people we're talking about here. Yes.
But if you say it's a lesser known celebrity, I mean, if you were to say Wink Martindale found dead, it would gain a lot more traction just because people would be like, well, who'd make up that Wink Martindale passed away?
Yeah, that does seem like a weird one, right?
Yeah.
Well, in recent hours, so this is according to this article. I'm going to read it right as they wrote it. These guys clearly have a lot of editorial happening here, but In recent hours, a fake viral report went up on Facebook claiming that the pop star had allegedly been found dead in her Los Angeles home. Country singer Miley Cyrus. Really? We're still calling her a country singer?
Country singer?
I mean, that's what they're saying here. I mean, I know she was in, I mean, that's kind of her Hannah Montana days, but not now.
Yeah. She's firmly 2 feet in pop.
We just want to party. Dancing with Molly.
Country about that.
Right. Found overdose this afternoon in her Los Angeles home. Read a bogus post in which this is the actual scam that sends anyone who clicks it to an unrelated survey that makes money on the pranksters. Miley Cyrus is alive. The dead report is 100% false. Unfortunately, plenty of fans were alarmed at the headline, leading them to spread the rumor on Twitter and Facebook throughout Saturday, causing more fans to ask whether Cyrus was okay. These sick hoaxes have to stop, it says.
That's a finger waggle at the end of that
no, I know.
Article.
And then they encourage you to share this on Twitter. Oh, it's a, you know what it is? This is a site called The Gossip Cop. Yeah. Look at that. All right. One of the articles is Miley Cyrus goes topless, shows nipples, butt, camel toe in Terry Richardson pics. Great. Thanks, man.
Oh, these are hilarious. And it tells you whether they're real or rumor.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one's totally rumor.
5-year-old girl battles Guardians of the Galaxy cast in trivia on Jimmy Kimmel.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, that's crazy.
They were all on the on Jimmy Kimmel last night because there was the red carpet premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Like a solid 10 days before the rest of us can see it.
I was going to say, that was fast.
Is it up on Rotten Tomatoes yet?
I was going to check because I wanted to see. I mean, I've heard a lot of early good buzz, but I'm trying to see here. Guardians of the Galaxy. No, nothing on Tomatoes yet. It's a zero reviews. Wow, okay, there we go. Yeah, no reviews yet, it says. Although user ratings are at 99%, and none of them has seen it either, so that's annoying. Top box office right now, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, 91%. The Purge, 55%. Planes, Fire, and Rescue, 45%. Sex Tape, 20%. That thing's abysmal on here.
Yeah.
Transformers Age of Extinction, 17%. Tammy, 23%. 22 Jump Street, 85%. How to Train Your Dragon 2, 92%. Boy, look at the movies that are doing well here.
Hmm.
Maleficent, 49%. Well, anyway.
How's that Planes, Fire, and Rescue doing?
I just told you that one. Where is it? Oh, here it is. 45 for Planes, Fire, and Rescue. Not great. Did we own that?
We own that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's third place. I mean, it's in there, but not very good. And we don't own Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, do we? Who owns that?
No. That would have been a nice one to pick up.
Yeah. Damn it. Well, I still think we're way ahead in the game. Aren't we? Aren't we ahead still? I think we are.
No, I think...
we in second?
We went to second, yeah. We're really close to DTNS for second place.
What else do we have? We've got our biopic of... I Feel Good. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, James Brown. Get on up!
Get on up!
Comes out the same day as Guardians of the Galaxy, so we'll see how we do with that.
I'm sure it'll do really well against that.
Yeah.
It's not going to do well at all against that.
You were going to talk about this Overcast thing. You want to plug it really quick before we jump into something?
Oh, yeah, let me tell you about this. All right, so this new app, Overcast. It's Overcast FM, technically. Just make sure I'm telling you right on the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is. Overcast FM. They have this nice web player as well, which is cool. Anyway... It is a new podcast app that is 100% free. It has some limits, but not so many that you couldn't probably get away with just using it for free. Mm-hmm. I always unlock these things because I want the full features, and it's only $5, so who cares? But it's got really nice, smart playlists, easy to discover stuff, really nice interface, smooth, slick, fast, imports your feed from anywhere, and will export them right back to some other thing if you don't like their app. They have they even list these other competitors in the app and say, our app not for you? Try some of these other awesome developers, and they show Downcast and Instacast and everybody else. So they're being weirdly nice about it. Anyway, this is the guy who he's one of the co-founders, co-developers of Tumblr.
Okay.
He's also what was the other app he did that everyone loves? Crap.
I just read the review on Macworld about it.
Mm-hmm. The Verge had a big thing about it.
Yes, I'm pulling it up
Marco
right now.
Marco Arment, he's the guy, and I just cannot remember.
Instapaper.
Instapaper, that's it.
Yeah.
And which, you know, everyone loves Instapaper. He's kind of legendary in iOS and Mac circles. There's not an Android version of this app as of yet. That could change. So that's a downside if you have an Android, if you're an Android guy. But it is really cool. It's slick and easy, and I like it. I have only one complaint. I think it does all the things I liked about Downcast and other apps. I think it does all those things better.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it doesn't do is it won't stream it and just start playing it. You've got to download.
Oh, right.
Before you can play. Now you can do this on cellular as well as Wi-Fi. So it's not like you're limited to the Wi-Fi or anything. It's just you got to download then listen. Right. Whereas the other ones will let you stream and listen at the same time.
Yeah, when I was reading the article, one of the things they talked about that sounded fantastic was the smart speed deal. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can speed up and do. I know Tom Merritt likes to listen to podcasts a little bit faster, and lots of people do.
Sure.
This one actually, you can just turn on a button that automatically shortens silences, and then you have a separate speed slider that goes, you know, from 1x all the way up to 2x, but it's got little iterations. So mm-hmm. if you feel like 1.5 is too fast, you can drop down to 1.25, 1/8.
Yep.
And
really slick. If you're feeling saucy, you can just eliminate all the silence gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a guy that never uses that crap ever because I want to hear what people meant to record.
Right.
But it's nice that they gave people those features and they'll seem pretty robust. But just overall, just really nice minimalist interface, great color use, just a nice, really slick feeling, non-janky app, and a perfect free alternative if you even don't unlock everything to what Apple's podcast app does. I mean, by far better than that thing. I like it. It's good. It's mm-hmm. really good, solid. So I'm gonna be using that quite a bit, and it exported all my Downcast
PML
feeds,
or whatever.
No problem. Yeah, moved right over. It was like piece of cake. So, I mean, I'm going to keep both for various reasons and kind of keep my eye on them. But so far, this thing's pretty sweet. Lots of good reviews and stuff too. So you should check it out.
Cool.
Okay. HelloFresh.
I'm gonna send you one quick thing too. This is just because I know we've got it. Well, I guess we don't have enough time.
What do you got there? What is it?
So I was reading Mental Floss last night
mm-hmm.
and found this article. They talked about cruise ships and like the best, you know, the things, 10 things you didn't know about cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things it did was pointed you to a site called cruiseserver.net where you can look at all the listings for people who've fallen off cruise ships in the last 10 years.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
And so it's a list of all the people, their ages, what nationality they were, what kind of cruise ship or what brand or company's cruise ship they fell off of, and some notes about, you know, what they did at as they were jumping, or, you know, we saw them on security camera, or this person just jumped, or this person put on a life vest. So here's a link in the Skype for you.
All right. I'm going to take a look at this.
I'll put it in the chat room as well.
All righty. Here it is. Clicking
it's
it.
It's kind of morbid. But
so these people all died in there?
All the ones with a Y in the second to last column.
Means yes.
Means yes, they died.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. Can I sort by that? Nope. All right. I don't want to anyway.
But the stats at the bottom were kind of interesting. Males are much more likely to go overboard than females.
Okay.
Carnival passengers are more likely to go overboard than passengers from other cruise lines.
Is that because there's more Carnival ships?
I don't know. It's it does seem like it's one of the more popular ones. I think it's one of the least expensive.
Yeah.
Especially passengers on the Carnival Conquest.
Wow. The most
incidences.
That's really
the average
weird.
Age of a passenger who goes overboard is 41 years.
Yeah.
You're more likely to fall overboard on the last night of your cruise.
Wow.
People from California and Florida go overboard more than others.
Why?
I don't know.
It even says
well, probably
for some
because
reason.
You're on the coasts and you're probably more likely to go on a cruise if you're, you know, you don't have to pay for the flight out to the cruise, you know. There's that extra.
The stat at the bottom is great. Most people who fall overboard are either drunk or doing silly things, climbing on the railing or between cabin balconies.
Right, yeah. A lot of people, you look in these listings, there's a lot of people who are going between cabins via the window or via the balconies or something.
That's what you do on these cruises. You just drink a ton.
Yeah.
That's what people do. I know that, and I don't even drink. All right, well, yeah, stay off the edge, you idiots.
I thought that was really interesting.
Bunch of fools. Fools. All right. Well, there's that.
Anyway.
There's that for you. HelloFresh.com sponsoring today's program. At HelloFresh.com, you can make cooking fun again. Go check them out. See what the chefs have made this week. They will take those recipes. They'll let you pick them and send the exact farm fresh ingredients, and I mean all the ingredients, straight to your door. Everything you need to make that meal in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com right now to see if they deliver to you. If they do, use the code MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off for first-time customers. For those who say, well, Scott, it's not even available in Utah yet. You're right, but they made an exception for me and sent me one, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if they got here. So expand HelloFresh.
An exception for me as well, and it was fantastic.
So, yes, and we need both Denver and Utah to get on that map right away. HelloFresh.com and the code MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off. When we come back, we got Fitness Geek, Jury Duty, and more. Why don't you play a song now?
Okay. This one is going to go out to Miles. Now, Miles requested something different. So Miles had a birthday while we were at Nerdtacular, right around the time we were at Nerdtacular. I think it was on the 3rd,
yeah.
So day before. And the request that he put, one of his two requests was ABBA's Lay All Your Love on Me by Avantasia, which we've played recently, so I'm not going to play it again. However, another request was for a cover of Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. Mm. And I found a great cover of that, and I'm pulling it up right now. This one by the Gobos. This is from their 2003 album, Worst Album Ever. It's the Gobos and their cover of Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline going out to Miles.
Peggy's new way to serve Aunt Jemima's. First, saute some apple rings and place on the griddle. Next, pour on the Aunt Jemima pancake batter. Then add your favorite sausages. Aunt Jemima. Perfect pancakes in 10 shakes.
Metal Men. Looks like they're our reception committee.
The Morning Stream. You got your Trek nerd in my chin beard. You got your chin beard in my Trek nerd.
Okay.
That's fun when you hear an audio clip for a commercial and then you hear the thing you've been hearing a lot. The add your favorites. I was like, oh, there's that thing.
It's weird how it jumps out, right?
It totally is, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun to play that one. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody. Tuck in.
Okay.
It's time for some... it's time for the
tucking in.
Some sweet sounds. Bill Duran.
Shinbiad.
He's not. I don't think he's going to Comic-Con this week. I think we'll ask him about that because you know he's a prop man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you never know.
Be all over that,
right? So we're gonna play him. You know what I'll do there? Here, let's do. It's been a while. Here you go. Bill Duran, are you there?
It's so annoying to get some Trek nerd in your chin beard.
I know,
it's
right?
Really annoying.
It's
really, hard to get out.
It's a rough business.
Sticky. A lot of people don't know that about Daryl. He's really sticky.
Ooh.
Use ice cubes, yeah. I think, is the way to do it.
I was unaware of this.
Soda.
So you're here, but are you? The bigger question is, are you at Comic-Con this year in San Diego?
No, I'm not going to San Diego Comic-Con. I have too much work to do out here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And also, so here's the thing. A lot
I
of my,
say that. Really what I mean is I was not able to get tickets.
Right. I have a lot of friends who are long-time, go-all-the-time comic creator dudes, booth getters and all that, who are all not going this year.
Wow.
And I don't know why. And so when I asked around a little bit, and I'm not going to use any names here, but a lot of it comes down to they felt like they were going just because you got to go and were no longer actually getting any benefit out of the event for themselves, and that truly things have gotten so Hollywood that it no longer makes sense for them as independents to bother, that they're getting more action out of smaller cons and regional stuff than they ever do out of San Diego anymore.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, well, that's too bad.
Well, you know what, though? I think the great thing is that because conventions like Salt Lake Comic Con or Emerald City Comic Con are getting so awesome, people have options.
Right.
Both attendees and people who would be exhibiting or selling there. You know, lots of options.
Yeah, they have places to go, stuff to do. You're no longer limited to one big marquee event. But then again, I want there to be a big marquee event where big, huge news about movies and casting and blah, blah, blah. I like that all that comes out of San Diego. And I like that some of the greatest cosplay in the history of ever comes out of there.
As long as, I mean, as long as it's always going to be targeted towards media, we're always going to have that. And it becomes more and more targeted towards the media. It's less targeted towards, let's get fans there and see these things. It's, let's make our big announcements there. We're going to have all the media outlets come there and broadcast this. So we're always going to have those big announcement things, I think.
Yeah, probably right. So I'm glad it exists, but I get why, you know, if you're doing a webcomic that 30,000 people visit a week or something, this may not be for you anymore, you know?
Right.
It's just gotten too big and out of whack for that. But anyway, times are changing. But guess what doesn't change? Bill Duran on Tuesdays. No. That's not what changes. He comes on here, talks about fitness, among other things. What the hell's going on this week, man?
Holy crap. Well, forever, I've been wanting to quite literally get my hands on some of those really cool push-up bars.
Mm.
They're like kind of U-shaped things that you use so that you can get a more full range of motion when you're doing your push-ups. So I finally plunked down the big money here, $10 on Amazon. I don't know what took me so
long.
Break
the bank.
Yeah. Whew. And I got some of them, and they're really sturdy. They're seem to be well made, and there are a whole bunch of different options on Amazon. If anyone else is interested, just look at the reviews, see which ones you like, and I would recommend in the $10 range. And I tried them out yesterday. And I've been doing a lot of push-ups lately, and I've been feeling good about, I can do a lot of push-ups.
Yeah,
I can do a lot less of them with those freaking bars, but it's good. It's a challenge. More motion means push-ups take longer to do. You're more invested in the entire range of motion. So I did a lot less of them, and I feel like I still got a lot more of a workout.
I mean, I always worry with those things. I see them and I think, well, I could, you know, I can afford this $20 pair or whatever. But I always feel like this might be an item that you'd want to make sure you spent good money on or did a lot of research about, because aren't you worried about something snapping and one of your wrists going into a direction it wasn't intended to, you know?
You may have to, they may have some sort of weight limit. I used a similar pair before. And it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
So maybe in the product description, there's some sort of weight limit on them. But for the most part, they're like steel handlebars are probably not going to break.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anyone else having that problem either. And there are some that are really, really wacky and cool. Like, there's one that's this whole contraption that you can, like, hang up on your door frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pull ups, do all this wacky business with those. I didn't want to get that fancy. I also don't trust the frames in this house.
Right. You've seen enough. You've seen enough fail videos to know.
Yeah.
That,
enough failed pole dancing videos that just come right out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
I am kind of waiting for that day when we find out that you, Bill, have gotten yourself a pole and you're working the pole, and that's your new that's your new thing, you know. Sure.
Eventually, run out of material for the segment.
Yeah,
we're doing pole dancing.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between this and, say, all right? So there's these pole, you know, the kind you can put in your door frame and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for push-ups, you can get the little discs things you put on the ground that have handles on them.
Mm-hmm.
Do those do a similar? I mean, what's the advantage of that, say, over just standard ass push-ups?
Well, one of the cool things that's cool is that your wrists stay straight. You're not bending them at a 90-degree angle. Mm. So, especially if you have wrist issues, then it makes a huge difference,
because you're holding the handles instead of laying your hand out flat. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. And that can make a big difference. That also helps you get a more wide range of motion too.
Mm.
Which is pretty cool. And you can turn them so you don't have to just hold them in one way or the other. You can rotate them. You can get ones that rotate while you do the push-up. I'm not
sure. Those are tougher, because those are ones I have, the circular ones that rotate as. And I think that actually adds a level of difficulty that I don't need.
Right.
Having them stick is better.
I've never used those before, but some people like them a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. It's cool, but also, so here's another thing that's cool about them too. A lot of people have trouble just doing push-ups, just one, you know, and they'll do push-ups, let's say, from their knees so that they're lifting less weight. This is a really great way for you to still do that, still do like push-ups from your knee, but get a more, you know, complete range of motion out of it. Get a little bit more of a workout from, you know, half a push-up, let's say.
Yeah. That's interesting. So yeah. Nick has, it just occurred to me, Nick has one of these door frame ones. And it's weird because it's designed that it is perfectly stable on that door frame but only when you hang on it. So when you're actually using it, because the way the physics of that thing are, is it like it creates a vise on it there's weight on it. But when there's no weight on it, I mean, it's light as a feather. You pop it off without any effort at all.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't feel very comfortable watching him hang on that thing.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like it's going to bust in and everything's going to come crashing down. And we're all going to die at some point.
a load bearing beam is going to give way. And
yeah. Yeah. Every time he does it. And he's getting pretty good at it. And he can do, you know, I don't know, five or six of those in a row or something. It's nothing amazing, but more than me, you know. Mm-hmm. I can do maybe, since the weight loss, I can do one good one.
Yeah.
And then one half-assed one.
Next year, Nerdtacular Nick's going to show up. He'll be like 6'2 and totally jacked.
Well, he is going to be, the 6'2 is coming quick. And he has the kind of, like, he's super lucky in this way. He's got perfectly proportioned, like, body length and leg length, where it doesn't look weird that his legs are too long or his body's too long. You know, sometimes you get a little out of proportion that way. He's got all the perfect makings for, like, a swimmer. Like, he could do that big-time upper body swimmer type physique if he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he'd just rather play Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know? Like, when it comes down to it, hey, you want to go to swim team practice at 4 a.m.? Or do you want to play Minecraft? I think I know which way he's going
to
go.
Just tell him every time he gets blown up by a creeper, he has to do 5 pull-ups.
Ah, see? Make a game out of it.
Yeah. Right.
Gamify his life. It seems like...
Buddy of mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just like, a buddy of mine, during when we were playing Vanilla WoW back in the day, whenever the raid wiped, he would drop and do 20 push-ups.
Oh, well, that's...
That was his thing.
Wow.
That's a cool... I mean, I would be enormous if I did that with our raid.
Yeah. When we were working through...
Just any time I died, if I dropped and do 20 push-ups. Yeah, heck with a wipe.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, you don't think about this, but that's a great way to... Like, somebody else was saying to me... Hey, I also use the Pomodoro whatever it is. What do you call it?
App. Yeah,
the app thing that you and I were talking about. Mm-hmm. And he says that the way he deals with that is after 25 minutes, he sets his for 25-minute intervals. He'll focus on whatever project he's focused on. At the end of that 25 minutes, instead of doing what they say is like a 5-minute do-nothing kind of break, he takes 5 minutes and just does push-ups and sit-ups for that whole 5 minutes.
Yeah. Wow.
And does that every day, all day, in between his focus sessions. And I got to say, that dude's in pretty good shape. I mean, that's that kind of stuff you don't think of because, you know, it's hard. But if you start to break it down into these like little intervals, it's not as hard as you think. Like, you could totally pull that off.
Oh, yeah.
I think I may start doing that now. I'm having a conversation with myself now, but I think I'm going to do that.
Whatever it takes.
That's not a bad idea. Anyway,
you two need a moment.
Yeah, we're gonna come over here, and you just stay over there. It's fine. Bill, what else is happening, man? Anything else going on of interest in your life and the world of either fitness or prop making? What's going on?
Sure. Yeah, let's talk prop making. Why not?
All right.
No, I have a really cool project that I'm working on for Dragon Con. Mm. And this is a group participation project. I built a little claptrap robot.
Yeah,
like a puppet. My brother built one last year. I built one just recently, and we want to get a lot of people building them. So I put up a video on how I built mine, so that other people know how to do it. And then this weekend, for no good reason, my brother and I built little jousting lances for our claptraps and ran them into each other. That was fun. Yeah. That video will be up shortly.
That's awesome.
But that's my big project. That's what I want everyone to go check out. If you go to tiny.cc/claptrapdc, all one word, it'll send you to the Facebook page where you can go check out all of that. People are posting the ones that they're working on right now, and they're looking really, really sweet.
Yeah.
So if people want to do that, join us at DragonCon, or just build one for fun because it's a really cool project. Then that's the place to go.
Where would you, if you had to predict how many you think you're going to show up with us based on your?
All right.
Yeah.
I want there to be 20 of them.
Yeah.
If 5 show up, I will be over the moon.
right. Like any a handful would be fine, but
yeah.
I'll bet based on how much feedback you're getting, you end up with a lot more than that.
I hope so. I really do.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
We'll see. I don't want to think. There's a number of days in between now and Dragon Con that is quickly approaching zero.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. No, that's all good. Bill Duran, everybody, a guy you can follow on the internet. Chinbeard is his Twitter account. And he also has punishprops.com, where progress on this and many other projects can be found, his YouTube channel, and more. Bill, thanks, man. Have a fantastic week.
Will do.
Right on, brother. Where's your hang up button? There it is. All right. Right into Justin now.
Chet?
I have no idea what he wants to talk about today.
We never do. It's always a it's like a roll of the dice.
It's a
what's it gonna be?
It's a mystery wrapped in a chalupa.
Conundrum smothered in secret sauce.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's see here. He's ringing. I don't know where he is today. Oh, he hung up. Busy, it says.
Oh no.
All righty. Let's give that another try there, Justin Robert Young, Esquire. If you had to picture, there he is. I think that's him. Hold on. Justin, is that you?
It is.
Oh, well, hold on.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young joins us now on the line. Mr. Young, what's going on?
So smooth and professional. You'd never know it was a podcast.
Are you, where are you? You sound like you're remote today.
I am. I'm remote as all hell in where am I? Santa Barbara. That's where.
Santa Barbara. Are you there?
Oh, nice.
Are you there for a go game or just for pleasure? Or what's going on in Santa Barbara?
Oh no, I'm an international man of mystery, solving puzzles that lonely housewives write into my crossword.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I do go games. I travel around the world and I do go games.
This is true.
That's why I'm here.
Go out under the pier and get some fish and chips and a sea breeze for me, would you?
Yeah, that's what you do.
I was going to say, I made up this big elaborate thing and I don't know if it's any more ridiculous than I run scavenger hunts.
Mm.
Right. I think I am living the more ridiculous extreme.
Well, here are the two things I think of when I hear the term or the name Santa Barbara, okay? Every time.
Okay.
First, I think of the I don't know how short lived it was, but it seemed short lived to me that daytime soap opera, right?
Yeah,
that was one of them. Second one is we had and this is the truth. We had a lady in our neighborhood, an older lady. Her name was Barbara, and every Christmas she would dress up as Santa, and you would sit on her lap and get gifts and stuff. and we all called her Santa Barbara.
No way. Yep. Really?
Yep. That's the truth.
Man.
I know.
That's like, it's almost like she did it just for the pun.
I know.
It's like straight out of a Dave Eggers novel.
Well, what's funny is I think as a kid, I remember hearing the name Santa Barbara and only associating that with her because that's all I knew. I'm sure my parents were in on the joke, but I didn't know. So when I heard there was an actual Santa Barbara, she became inexorably connected. I can't get her out of my head when I think of this town you're in. So happy Merry Christmas, I guess, is what I should say.
Well, yeah, no. Was she like... Did she have the physical gait of Santa Claus?
Yeah, she was kind of, rotund. And she didn't look like Mrs. Claus. She totally, you know, dressed in, would you call that drag? That wouldn't be drag. Whatever the reverse of drag is.
No, yeah, it's drag.
Is it still drag? All right.
I think if you're crossing the, sure.
She cross-dressed as Santa.
The gender line.
Yeah, beard and all, like the full get-up. And it never occurred to us that she was a little more breasty than Santa should be. You know?
I mean, Santa's got some nice boobs, to be fair. Like, the male Santa's got a good rack on him.
Right. Always. Unless you're...
I think those are called Santa's little helpers.
There's little elves there. Yeah.
Let's just say, Santa, for all the cobbling together of toys for good girls and boys, didn't seem to find his way to that push-up bar that Chinbeard has got for $10.
That's right. Who among us has, really? Well, Justin, what is on your traveling mind this week? Poker, women, like what? What do you got?
Man, I don't know if I've ever talked about either of those two things in this show.
For some reason, I thought of the gambler in my head. I don't know. I don't know why. It's your beard, maybe, or I just like Kenny Rogers occasionally, or something's going on there. I don't know.
Kenny Rogers was a weird one because didn't he like have like at some point. Everybody tries country music.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And like Kenny Rogers Brian, you can probably fill in more of the blanks here because you're a music buff, but like he was like a psychedelic artist for a while, right?
Right, yeah. The Fifth Edition, I think, was the name of his band.
What condition is my condition in?
Just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in.
From the Big Lebowski, that's like Kenny Rogers, and so he did this, and like he was good, but not like great. And he's like, screw this, I'll try country music, and then he's like a legend.
Yeah, it's weird,
but you'll
right?
Notice a lot of people that like you know they'll be pop stars like Hootie,
Darius Rucker. I was just gonna say, yeah.
Exactly. Hootie's like, well, you know, I have this one album, and, you know, besides, you know, Let Her Be and, you know, the Dolphins Hand and Cry and, you know, all that. Like, I really ain't had a whole lot of luck here. So what do you say? I just tried doing country. Boom. Instant megastar.
What happened to the Blowfish? Are they around still?
They were stranded on a beach, and they were last seen to be sucking air in a comical fashion.
You know, that really is one of the funnier deaths in the fish kingdom when it comes to fish. They really do. They don't. A bad fish death is kind of funny. I hate to say it. No offense to anyone who loves fish, but it's kind of funny to watch them a little bit.
When
you know?
They're just like, they just have like their eyes. They're just looking at you like, why me? I might as well just hold up a little sign like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, that's about right. But anyway. That's all good stuff, Kenny Rogers and all. But so tell us of women in poker or whatever it was you were going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I really sometimes, and by sometimes I mean the times that I just wake up like right before I come on.
Yeah.
I don't do what is a lot of prep for the show. Like I imagine Chinbeard has, you know, a little
pages
spreadsheet
of notes.
Or something.
Yeah, right,
or, yeah sure. He's got little bullet points. He's sitting down there and his dank like saw workshop that you know he's in front of that old computer and he's going through all his notes and having a really great segment. Me, sometimes there's something that really is all up in my craw. Today, I don't know. There's not really a whole hell of a lot. I just gotta show up and hope something gets sparked. Nothing yet. You know, so we'll just keep on holding
just keep on. Rumors
on,
hold on.
You want to talk about the rumors of Miley Cyrus's death being greatly exaggerated?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let's go.
Okay.
You know how much I love talking about these pop stars.
Right. They're a big deal. Okay. So so this thing spread as a hoax, and we've had these before, and sometimes they're very unfortunate, like the Paul Walker one the weekend before he actually was killed, and then nobody knew if it was real or not. And
frequent Morgan Freeman ones.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's always being reported as having died. You know, and then there are people who are, for who knows why, never targets of this. Like James Garner was never a target of rumored death. And then
you
just died.
The people that are making up Facebook and Twitter death hoaxes had no idea who James Garner was.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's true, I guess. But like sometimes there have been others, though, of I don't know, maybe you have to be in a certain part of the limelight. Like there have been some for Harrison Ford, but he's
still prominent enough, though. I mean,
he's Han Solo for everyone.
Yeah, he was in a movie called Star Wars. He was in another movie called Indiana Jones. People still remember those movies.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, okay. So, first of all, so we've cracked one part of the egg, which is you got to be...
Well, all right, let's just, before we get into the Miley Cyrus element, like... Let's break down the anatomy of how this works.
Right.
You get a bunch of, like, you know, a bunch of or one kid, right? And many times this happens, not on necessarily like 4chan, but like similar just gatherings of, you know, youth for whom idle hands being the devil's workplace.
Right.
Now, what goes into a good one? A good one will get trending or get coverage from other media outlets. Who want to make sure that they are the first in covering something. Mm. So you need to have something that will get traction. So what gets traction? Anything that is relevant or anything that would be big news. Mm. So like Miley Cyrus, that's a famous one. But meanwhile, you could probably do like Joe Biden. And although he is not, doesn't quite have the sexy slinky moves of one Miley Cyrus,
not quite
would be a much bigger deal.
Yeah.
You know,
well, hold on though. What was the one that was just a few weeks ago that, Newman on Seinfeld. I can't think of his real name.
Wayne Knight.
Yeah. Remember? Yeah. Now that was an obscure one, I thought, because that spread like wildfire, and everybody was sure, and then it turned out...
The right combination of obscurity and believability.
I guess so, because then...
Well, because he's fat, and everybody's waiting for fat people to die. Like, and I don't mean that in that they have a vendetta against fat people. It's just that I feel bad for fat people, like, because, you know, I got into this thing again with the George R. R. Martin thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm shocked that there hasn't been more of, like, George R. R. Martin is dead, because we all seem, by we all, I mean a certain subsection of the internet, not everybody, obsessed with the idea that this dude's going to die.
Yeah.
Which I find weird and like, just so intensely morbid that it's not like, hey, it's hey, hurry up and write because your death is inevitable, you fat old man.
Yeah. And I hate, like, that. I think that's it's a strange part of fandom to me.
Because you want to know why it's weird to me? It's not, hey, I really wish that you would take better care of yourself. Not that we know how good he takes care of himself, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if it was like, hey, you know, I'm going to run, you know, 3 miles on the treadmill every day because I hope that George R. R. Martin, you know, as his age advances, we all need to keep better, you know, better care of ourselves. And I want to do that because I hope he lives forever.
Right.
It's not like I hope he lives forever. It's please. I want to squeeze the last of the juice that I care of you out of your tube before you expire.
Out of your tube. Okay. I had a Twitter exchange with somebody about this because I also think it's crazy and I don't understand it. The justifications are really, that's the odd bit for me. It's not so much the people going, the crazy ones that are going, hurry up and do your book before you die, you fat old man. Those are the ones, I mean, I don't know how to help those people. It's the more subtle middle ground that gets to me. So I get this tweet back to me when I was saying, you know, I can't believe people are doing this or whatever. And he writes back and he goes, well, we've all been burned by the Wheel of Time books when Jordan died.
Oh, my God.
We've all been burned by the books. First of all, some would argue the Sanderson pickups were better, in my opinion. Second of all, that is some of the saddest tweeting I've ever read. Like that, I know. That's horrifying to me that you would say that. Like, well, we've been screwed before by somebody else dying of natural causes and not finishing a book series that we really liked. So this time we need to be preemptive and tell old Fatty McGilly Pants over there that he's got to get going on the next book. It's, yeah. That's really bothersome. You know?
Is there, why does this happen with books? Because it's not like we got burned by Heath Ledger dying.
No.
Right?
No.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know? Is it just like, I mean.
But even that's weird. That was a tragedy more, it was more of a public tragedy because Batman was good. Think about that for a second. This also bothers me.
Well, no. I mean, there was also the idea that he was like the next great actor that we never got. That like he was on the trajectory to be. I mean, because it was right after Brokeback Mountain, and
sure.
then he does this big iconic, villain role. So it's like the idea, I guess, was that you know it was. Although you know, listen. As much as I say that, I don't know if the outpouring would have been the same if he had done, like, The Artist, like the black and white movie that would have won an Oscar and he could won, you know, best actor.
I can nearly guarantee it. I guess I can't guarantee it, but I would put money on the idea that if he had not been the Joker, nobody and done so amazingly well as the Joker and had the death not been so close to. I mean, the movie came out after his death, right? I think so. It was all post.
Oh, yeah.
Had that not been there, that wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But I'm saying it speaks to this weird culture of like, oh, you know, he's the Joker and he's amazing. And oh, what a loss this is. Ask everybody 2 years prior to that. And they would have said, well, what do we got here? Brokeback Mountain and that Knight's Tale deal. And he was the son and freaking the Patriot. Like it's people are weird about why they feel bad about a thing like this, you know? It's weird to me that we give so much credence to a job they did, and then
on some level I can understand the Ledger thing a little bit more because I don't ever want to tell somebody how to grieve, right? Like that is the processing of a death. That is a traumatic event, and however you were linked to them, I feel like if you are honoring their work, then at least at some level you are remembering their legacy, and that's something that I think we all want, right? Like, you know, when we all shuffle loose this mortal coil, we want to have people remember what we did.
Right. Sure.
But the ghoulishness of just, you know, buzzarding over people and yelling at them to finish doing things before they die is just like so weird. And I don't know whether or not it is the more socially tone deaf elements of the community for which we love.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like my instinct is, you know, as we hope to police ourselves and not be criticized by those outside of our little coven or coven, you know, that I immediately blame like the idea that like, you know, listen, there are some people and I'm sure, listen, how many emails do you get a day, Scott?
On this show, I don't know, whatever it is, a couple hundred, whatever it is, 200-300.
Like, I am sure a solid 30% of those are from people that are on that spectrum, right? Like they don't exactly understand how feelings or emotions work, and they tend to make kind of outrageous demands and get really upset about things that are not socially recognized to be all right.
There's some of that. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, but that's just a part of the geek community. I'm not saying it's not part of all communities. However, it's one of those things that I feel like is kind of more on display. Maybe if even just because I see more of it.
Yeah. But this idea that I feel like you could say, hey, George R. R. Martin, you better not die. I need your book. And then someone come in the room and go, hey, everybody, I don't know if you heard about this, but just up the street, 14 children were killed in a bomb in a school. Okay, that's good, but I'm talking about George R. R. Martin right now. You know? Like, that's extreme, yeah. But it's I just don't get the divide there. That's so crazy.
I don't know. I always kind of get weird about whenever we like try to compare different things, but it's like, you know, there's enough for me to say that, like, it makes me cringe whenever there's any element of like, you know, because what brought this up again was George R. R. Martin doing his, like, doing some press or whatever in Europe, and some dude was like, you know, what do you say to people who say you should, that you might die? And George R. R. Martin used the F word to describe those people. And flipped them off. And it was like, you know, I find it distasteful that that question's asked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, in that way, like, that is, the whole concept is just so ghoulish to me. And I don't think that just because a bunch of people are talking about it makes it any more right to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's a meme.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I never will. I wanted to write the final book. I mean, would I be disappointed that we didn't get a final book out of him because he died? Yes. I don't think that's the question.
Yeah.
It's just that, darn it, that means that's sad. He's dead and we're not going to get another great work out of him. But man, I'm sure glad we got what we did. That seems like a natural, normal reaction. When James Garner dies, I think it's okay for me to go, oh yeah, I loved his shows when I was a kid. That stuff was great. I'd kind of forgotten about him, and I'm glad he lived such a long life and whatever, and move on. But for me to go, now we're never going to get the new Maverick role I've been waiting for so long.
Sequel.
What a jerk for dying, you know? Like I don't get it.
No, I don't. Now, all right, you want to take all that misplaced rage? Let's say you were listening to this show and you're like, man, I've definitely written a post on Facebook about how I really hope that old Fatty McMartin Pants writes his final Ice and Fire novels. Like, and now I've repented. I see the error in my ways. I see that it's ghoulish and weird, but yet I still have all this misplaced rage.
Right.
Here's where you go with it. If you want to be legitimately critical, like artistically critical, you can say, and I would make the argument, that those books have gotten a little sloppier and not as good the longer he's taken with them.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, I mean, the last two are one giant book anyway that is super weird. Yeah.
And a lot of that could have been cut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so I would say that you, if you want to just make a snarky comment about the Song of Ice and Fire thing, you're legitimately able to say that.
Yeah.
Some anger you need to direct in a direction.
Right. And I think it's important to note, most of the people, I would argue, I could be wrong, but if I'm going to guess, most of the people who are mad about this or are worried about him dying before he finishes are people who've never touched the books, never planned to, and just want to make sure their HBO stuff stays solid and good throughout the whole run. That's who I think most of those people are.
Oh, no. This was a meme before the show.
You think so?
Like,
all right.
Oh, I think if look at the origin of the Neil Gaiman George R. R. Martin is not your bitch quote. Like, I think that might be pre-first season or during first season of the show, certainly before it became, you know, it only became the most popular show in HBO history this season. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that these are book readers.
You're right. George R. R. Martin, Neil Gaiman made that quote in 2009 before the show had come to fruition some 2-3 years later. So you are totally correct about that. So maybe it's worse on that end than I thought. But I do feel like a lot of it now, or in the increased volume of it, is a lot of crossovers who are either discovering it on HBO and therefore have gotten into the books, or otherwise just want to make sure the story continues in a way that, you know, they get whatever pound of flesh they want.
Yeah, it's so weird, you know, and I don't like it, and I don't like anybody that I like espousing that. So just know that about me.
Yeah, know that about when you walk into a room and you see Justin, don't say, "I hope Miley Cyrus gets Bangers 2 out the door before she dies."
All right, we need a sequel to that for sure.
Let's get back. All right, so what is there anything interesting about the Miley Cyrus thing?
No, just that she's not dead, and you know, that was a big hoax and trying to get behind. Okay, I'm gonna do an impression though. Here's my impression. of one of the fangirls on Twitter who had heard the news, this rumor, this scurrious rumor that she had died. Here's my Twitter reaction. And this is literally me quoting from one of these tweets. So here you go.
Okay. All right.
OMG, you guys. I am literally freaking out right now. That's it. That's the whole of it. That's my entire impression.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is that is 90% of the responses to her death hoax was that quote.
Right, right.
I am totally, literally freaking out right now.
Oh. I mean, freaking that's out. Kind of why the teen idols are sort of the most delicious target for people who want to like screw around with people is because the fan bases are, you know, adolescents are they're fun to, you know, see react to things.
Yeah.
You know,
poke them with a stick.
There's so many new things for adolescents with, you know, hormones and experiences to toy with their emotions is to reveal a bit more of a erratic pendulum swing.
I feel like I've gotten things too easy with my kids when it comes to popular stuff like that because they don't care about any of it. And that, as a result, makes me go, you know, I'm a little more cynical toward it because I don't, because they don't care. Like the most fandom any of my kids ever expressed was for a while there, my oldest daughter was really, really into Jack Johnson. And that's about it.
Okay, well, here, that's what I'm going to hear. And this would be a fun, because I just went on a 15-minute rant about how it's not cool to be ghoulish. here's a really awful, horrifyingly ghoulish note to go out on.
All right, great.
If you were going to manipulate and just because you were an evil person, this is evil Scott, not you, but the Scott that comes out of the Nexus and has a mustache.
Yeah, the goatee one, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has a sidearm as well. I have a sidearm in that feature.
Really? And you wanted to screw with your kids, and let's go, each of them at like the ripe age of like 13.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like as things are at their most volatile.
Yeah.
Who would you say died? In pop culture, not like, you know, your mom, like, you know.
All right. That's interesting. It's different for each one of them.
I would assume so.
Okay, Nick's so fresh out of 13 that it's almost harder with him. But okay, so I would say in Taylor's case, if I would have said, who would it have been then? Like Jason Mraz.
Oh, okay. The Mraz.
That would have saddened her. It wouldn't have devastated her, but she would have been, you know, she wouldn't have loved that.
Would it have gotten an OMG, you guys, I'm like freaking out?
No, she would say... She might, maybe, actually. She might have.
Maybe just the one sad-faced emoji.
Or maybe that, like a little smiley face. Did you guys hear Jason Mraz died? Unsmiley face, and that's probably all you'd have gotten out of her.
I would posit to you this, that the singular sad-faced emoji with no other description is the flag at half-mast for a certain generation.
Right, right.
You're probably right. All right, for Carter, it would be, hey, Carter, John Lasseter died. This is how weird she is.
Would that get an OMG, I'm freaking out?
No, she wouldn't post. Here's what she would do. This is the difference between them. She would not post anything anywhere. She would just, she'd have a good cry and that'd be it. That's how she'd deal with it. So she would not get on Facebook or do anything like that. She's not into any of that. I mean, she's into it in terms of she likes posting her art and doing stuff like that, but she's not one to get on there and go, oh my gosh, did you guys hear? There's none of that going on with her.
She wouldn't draw like a sad look so the lamp, like looking at a setting sun.
Possibly,
like
yeah. Totally, that's a good point. She would turn her creative energy toward her sadness. Yes, that would probably happen. Nick.
Man, this is a really screwed up conversation.
It really is.
I just fully realized
that's how all right. sad it's all right. So then Nick would probably, I don't know, he'd have to hear Marcus Person, the creator of Minecraft, had died in a grisly accident, and that would probably upset him, and he would probably...
If
Notch went down, he would make a vine showing like a screen of Minecraft, and then he would show himself saying, thanks for the good times or something, and that'd be it.
Yeah.
That would be the end of that.
Like, Yeah, he'd like powering down the computer.
Yeah, yeah, and he would do it.
Or maybe even like, oh, if you really wanted to go symbolism, a little force quit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, I even did something like this. When Steve Jobs died, I drew a tree stump in the middle of nowhere with an old Mac Classic sitting on it with a frowny face where you normally that old logo smiley face thing right. they used to use. Pixelated frowny face, and then a bunch of half-eaten apples on the ground that were striped in colors like the old logo. Now, if that doesn't sound like a ridiculous cacophony of weird expression of "I'm sad, Steve Jobs
died,"
weird iconography, yeah, then I don't know what is.
Well, you know, but that's and I mean, listen, I wrote like a billion other people, you know, big, you know, ridiculous posts or whatever, social media posts about Steve Jobs dying, and I, as I do for, you know, all people that. That die that I really cared about and everything. So it is a human emotion. It is really an expression that, and that I think is kind of the flip side of the George R. R. Martin thing. It's like honoring those who made a difference in our lives. Like I think is important. That shows that we are good people on some level, that we recognize who makes our lives better. And hopefully we also, you know, expressed praise for their work while they were alive so they could know about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, legacy matters. Legacy matters to the living that survives that person, and as well as, you know, just for, you know, in the existential idea that, you know, part of what makes us driven people is that we change the world in some small way.
Right.
And that's the sign. That is the dent. All those, and as inarticulate and easy to mock as they are, all of those OMG, like, you guys, I'm freaking out, is the if Miley were unfortunately to have died, it would have been the representation on the dent she made in the universe. And that's pretty rad, you know, when you think about it.
Yeah, it is pretty rad. Yeah, so let's hope that we are speaking of Molly and
Molly.
And wrecking balls for a long time to come.
Sure.
From young Miss Cyrus.
Yes.
Billy Ray's offspring. There you go.
Wow, this was a tour de force.
It really
this
was today.
This started out as me not knowing what the hell I was going to talk about. And then it turned out pretty good.
I agree.
We went on a real gamut of emotions.
Sometimes those are the best episodes, I have to say. Justin Robert Young is a man
like,
about
like
town.
This if you cry every time.
Right, exactly. If John Lasseter died, I might cry a tear or two. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to now tell us how cool other things are going on and when people can hear them or see them that you're doing right now.
Hey,
I'm trying to go about this a different direction.
We got Night Attack. Night Attack now records on Sundays during the summer while Brian is on vacation. So you can download that right now. Normally I tell you can listen to it on Tuesdays, but you can download that right now. It stars Shannon Morse. It has a really funny story about a mutual magician friend of ours that Brian just made when he went out to the Magic Castle, saw an amazing magic performance, and it turns out to be a friend of mine. And I tell a really funny story about one time he went into an old folks' home and showed a legendary magician the lemon party photo.
Wow. That really happened?
So it's a hilarious story, actually. And one that I didn't have permission to tell, which is always really fun.
Oops.
So you can go ahead and download that. And then lately I've been saying, but Tuesdays you can watch me during the jury show, which is basically a one mic. You know, it's as if you're like, oh man, I like Night Attack and I like Justin on the Morning Stream. I would just like to eliminate all other voices and just let him ramble on and on and on and on and on. That's what the jury show is, except this week I'm not going to be able to do it live. So hopefully within the next 12 hours or so, you'll be able to download the episode that I'm putting up in instead, which is my semi-review for Edge of Tomorrow, but also... I got a pitch for you guys. I loved Edge of Tomorrow so much that I want to start a Groundhog Day franchise. Like, just every movie is a different genre, right?
And so Groundhog Day style Western.
Yeah. Groundhog Day.
Rom-com.
The Western.
Zombies, whatever. Sure.
I'm just going to, spoiler alert, it ends with Groundhog Day Rocky. So go ahead and download that. That's the Jury Podcast. You can find it on jurytalks.com.
Can it be? Can listen? Can the Rocky one be from the perspective of what's his name? I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Who's the guy he fights?
Just
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed.
Can it be from the perspective of Apollo Creed? Right. He keeps resetting when Drago kills him. He resets. Spoiler.
Man, I'm gonna spoil this is like the big crescendo of the entire episode. But there's very Apollo heavy is the plot that I pitch. The plot that I pitch is factors there may or may not be a reenactment of the Rocky III training sequence on the beach where they're running and laughing together with Rocky and Apollo's urn. As his ashes fly all over the beach.
Wow.
It's a thing. Everybody should go ahead and check that out as soon as it goes live.
All right. I'm into that. That's fantastic. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Justin, always a pleasure. Have fun in Santa Barbara and don't eat the sand. That's all I got to say there.
Wow.
I don't know what that meant.
Was that a concern?
I don't know. Is it? It might be.
No.
Tweaked Audio is not concerned because they're going to put great sound in your ears. Check them out. They're sponsoring today's program. Engineer for durability, designed to sound great with music and talk, noise reduction, compatibility. There's a lifetime warranty on everything they sell. Our friends at Tweaked Audio can be found at tweakedaudio.com. And if you use the code STREAM at checkout, you'll get a third off the price of your next pair of audio earbuds. That's 33% off. Replace the crap that you got from the factory with something rad at tweakedaudio.com. Brian, that's the end of the show.
Yeah, and it's good timing, too, because Twitch just died.
Oh, lovely. That's just what you want. Yeah. That's how you want it to be. Why is that? That's a jank. That's a real janky deal. I restarted it just in case, but if not, well, what are you going to do? Let's get the hell out of here. I want to thank everybody for being here and all our sponsors and all our friends and all our visits, Justin and Daryl and Chinbeard and everybody on Tuesday. Tomorrow we'll have Nicole, Tom, and more. So come back for that.
You here for that?
Should you? Do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to pimp push?
No. Push? From the Helicarrier coming up this afternoon. If you are an Avengers Alliance player, Marvel Avengers Alliance, be here for that. That's going to be this afternoon. In a rare change of things, I'm actually going to be running the show as opposed to just being the guy who pipes in every minute and says, "Yeah, that's a good strategy for beating that guy."
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You should use the portal. Major gun thingy maker.
Now you got to be You got to be the Garrett Weinzerl of this show. That's what you
got
to do.
I've got exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But
good times.
That'll be this afternoon. It'll be on the Twitch stream from the Helicarrier or coverville.com/live.
Assuming it works.
Yes. Well, it did just come back up. So
okay, good.
Just back up and going.
I was gonna say one other thing to you. Oh, I've been playing just a little bit, not a ton, but I've been getting back into. It's now called Marvel Heroes 2015.
Oh, right, the Diablo with superheroes.
Yeah, I think the more I play that, and the more I get deep into the story and stuff, the more I think you would really like it. And it's totally 100% free, so it doesn't cost you a dime.
I've downloaded it, I've installed it, and I've even got. I was in the initial launch period, so I've even got costume packs or. Superhero packs that I haven't even opened. So
you should totally do that because it's so you with the whole Marvel thing. It's just the more I play it, I'm like, oh my gosh, Brian would love this sequence. Yeah. I just killed the Kingpin, or not killed him, but I just beat him, and you would love that. So anyway, it's so deep too. They got like you can play Beta Ray Bill. You can play.
I saw that. Yeah,
like every stupid character, every great character, every in between character. Mm-hmm. It's and not only that, like the just how deep the villain roster goes is super obscure in some cases. Right. Stuff that you would totally know that I don't even know about. Anyway, you should try it.
Cool.
That game is, and it's improved steadily over time. Lots of new content. It's really good.
And that's the thing. I haven't played it since beta, so I'm sure it's a million times better than it was.
Yep. And you can play that game for total free. Nothing. Never have to spend it on it if you don't want to.
Cool.
That's it for us then. Thank you all for being here. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. We'll have more of those tomorrow on Twitter. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. There is a something new happen. Just a reminder, the therapy show should go up anytime soon, so keep an eye on my Twitter and I'll let you guys know as soon as that approval happens. You guys can get all subscribed and then we will put out episode one just as soon as that happens.
Yay!
So watch for that. It's gonna do it.
And if the internet guy shows up at exactly 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah, we have that little thing to deal with.
We
tomorrow.
Have that little thing, but I'm still thinking I can somehow stay on the connection I've got.
Yeah.
I believe so.
If you, I think the way it'll work, if you have both your Wi-Fi and, let me think about this for a second.
Wired, yeah. Well, the problem is that I'm almost too far to use just straight Wi-Fi.
Oh.
But there's nothing that says I can't leave the cable
just
not have him connect. You know, don't connect it to my Apple router, and then we're good.
Yeah. It should be all right.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Again, I like the adventure of it, so I'm not worried.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be fine. So be here for that. All right, let's play some music and take them home.
All right. Hello, Boba Fett and Skywalker. I've been a loyal listener since the early days of TMS, and I'd like to make my very first song request for the show. July 22nd is my 35th birthday, and I would love to hear a cover of or by my favorite band, Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Mm.
I'm not sure if a cover of theirs even exists, but if it does, I'm sure Brian has it. These guys were the soundtrack of my high school years, and I'm so excited that they recently got back together and released a new album. My brother and I went to see them when they toured here in Tempe, Arizona this year, and they were awesome. If you've got something of theirs, that would make my birthday. Can't hate the show, though. Kimball from Mesa, Arizona.
Nice.
That's the first one of those we've had, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a couple covers, like some acapella covers of Walk on the Ocean, and then a cover from one of those Pop Goes 90s albums of All I Want, which was pretty good. But I decided to go with a cover by the band. And this is a cover they recorded for the Kiss tribute that came out in 1994 called Kiss My Ass, Classic Kiss Regrooved.
Wow.
I've gotten to say that on a podcast.
There's a great old Simpsons line about Toad the Red Sprocket, and I was trying to track it down, and I can't find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to play it.
Oh, that's funny.
It's really good. Anyway, it's when the Simpsons recognize some stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
This is Toad's cover of, I say just Toad, like I'm a big hipster fan of the band. Toad the Wet Sprocket's cover of Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss, acoustified and slowed down a touch. And I think it's a lot of fun, actually.
All right. Well, let's give it a shot. It's Rock and Roll All Night. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new show. Bye.
Everything you've got, keep on dancing and the room gets hot. You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. See, you wanna go for a spin, party's just begun, we'll let you in. Party every day.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Jill!